Now, what do I mean? A 3-star hotel never goes on sale. It is specifically marketed to people that do not think deals exist on 4- and 5-star hotels.
Okay, y'all.
Okay, y'all, welcome back to the Luxury Investment Podcast. I am your host, Carter. Thank you so much for listening or watching on YouTube if you're watching there. Today's episode is going to be a part 2 from my last episode, which was how to travel luxury for cheap. Today's episode is all about how to find the best deals on luxury hotels. I asked if you wanted to see it, and I got a lot of comments and a lot of DMs asking for this. So let's get into it. I have a lot to say. I have lots of tips and tricks, as well as just like good overall general information. If you're new to this hunting for luxury hotel game, I am a veteran. I've been doing this for a while. So let's jump right into it. Okay, first, let's get into the definition of what a luxury hotel is. We've all heard of 5-star hotels, but interestingly enough, there really isn't a worldwide ranking on 5-star hotels. 5 stars are actually given by who you're booking the hotel with. For instance, kayak.com, for example, has its own rankings and ratings for what their definition of 5 stars is. As compared to Priceline, as compared to hotels.com, they'll all kind of rank their own 5 stars within their own definitions of what that means. Same thing with AAA, et cetera, et cetera. Now, there is some quality control on this with Hotel Star Union, et cetera, but really, when you're comparing country to country, there isn't like a strong definition of exactly the requirements needed in order to reach 5-star status, right? So let's get into like a few key things of what I would consider a luxury hotel to be and what's going to benefit you the most so you can kind of pick and choose what the best definition of luxury is for you when you're hunting for your best deals. Number one, a concierge. Now, if you've never stayed at a hotel with a concierge, I am going to change your life. Equally, if you've stayed at a hotel with a concierge and you don't know what all the concierge can do for you, I'm also going to change your life. Concierge is the best thing that has ever been invented in hotels. A concierge's role is there specifically for the needs of the guest. They're famous for the little keys on their lapel. And what I mean by needs is they can do so many things for you in a variety of categories. Not only can they get a car service for you or recommend you a restaurant, but how the industry actually works is 5-star restaurants will actually link up with 5-star hotels and the concierge service, giving them priority to tables at their restaurants. And what does that mean? That means when you call the famous restaurant, let's say Le Merle, right, which is the cafe in the Louvre in Paris, they're booked out all the time. If you have your concierge, call Le Merle because they're calling from a prestigious hotel. Cafe Merle will magically find a reservation opening because it's coming from the concierge at your hotel and not from you. And you can get in on short notice all the time. That is what concierge can do for you. Not only that, but again, let's give an example in Paris. If you're staying at the Ritz in Paris, they can get you an appointment at Chanel Rue Cambon, which is the flagship store in Paris, even if you don't have a regular essay there. They have so many tips and tricks up their sleeves and abilities like that that really make a 5-star hotel well worth it. I'll give you another example. Right after the quarantine really lifted, I was traveling through Europe, and of course, we all needed a SARS test in order to go from one country to another because it was before getting the shot, all of that, right? And I asked my concierge, hey, I need this test. They were well aware of all of the regulations, exactly what I needed, and they already had a doctor on call that would meet me in my room to administer the test and get it back for me in 24 hours. I didn't have to wait in any line. I think I went to 6 countries throughout that trip. Every single concierge did this for me. They had a doctor on call. They came to the room 24 hours later. They had my paperwork. Most of the time, the test would get sent to my concierge, and that way they would fold it up and put it printed off in an envelope for me and send it to my room. It was literally the most stress-free situation ever when it could have been an insanely difficult situation because I had a concierge. Concierge will pay for itself in gold every single time. I can't even tell you how many concierges have saved me from like some weird situation. It's one of the best things you can utilize in your hotel experience, and that's why I always pick luxury hotels, and I'll spend a little bit more maybe on another hotel or even an Airbnb because of the concierge. I'm telling you, it will save you every time. Okay, moving on. That's really my definition of a luxury hotel, is really just if they have a concierge. But you can also consider things like they have a high staff to room ratio, they have a spa, et cetera, et cetera. But like I said, I find the most useful thing, or the most useful definition of really what's going to set you apart from a 4-star or a 5-star or even a 3-star is a concierge. Okay, which leads us into the next thing, what I like to call the lie of the 3-star hotel. Now, listen to me. I love a good deal. I've been deal hunting for a long time. I've stayed in all the different kinds of hotels in order to save a buck, et cetera, et cetera. I travel quite a bit, right? So I feel like I have a really well-rounded knowledge on exactly how this industry works, exactly what kind of goes on in their own respective areas. And I'm going to tell you the biggest lie in the hotel industry is the 3-star hotel. Now, what do I mean? A 3-star hotel never goes on sale. It is specifically marketed to people that do not think deals exist on 4- and 5-star hotels, meaning they're around $100 a night and they hardly ever go on sale after that. They might have a bit of a point system, but you're not talking about anything that's actually going to save you money. And again, they are marketed specifically to people that don't think they can afford 4- and 5-star hotels. So they set their prices hard at around $75 to $100, and they are not worth it at all. I cannot even tell you how many 5-star hotels I have stayed at for $100 a night and under, literally all of the time. And I'll get into all the different ways I do that and find those deals. But the 3-star hotel is not worth it. You can absolutely always find a 4- and 5-star hotel for around the same price as you're going to find those 3-star hotels that don't have any of the amenities that would be worth $100 a night. They are literally purposefully marketing to this group of people that don't think that they can afford anything more expensive or more nice. And this is the best deal that they're going to get. And it is a lie. Oh my goodness. I can't even tell you how many times I have looked at hotels in an area that are like 3 stars and they're like 98, 105, 125. And I find a deal special in a 5-star hotel in like the nicest area in the city. And they have a special deal running that's $89, or I get it through my AAA or whatever it is. And I literally pay less money than I would of that 3-star hotel that with that breakfast included or something. And I'm staying at a 5-star hotel with breakfast included in a much, much nicer area that is fabulous, in a fabulous room with a fabulous view. It is a lie. Do not ever stay at a 3-star hotel. Take 10 minutes and do a bit of research and find a deal on the 4- and 5-star. And that brings us into our next thing. How do we find those deals? All right, let's get into it. First up is points. Now, we did touch on a lot of the different categories of points and how they all work in the first episode. So I'm going to try to go over a few different things that I didn't go over in that episode. But credit card churning is a big one. If you don't know what I'm talking about, basically credit card churning is specifically using credit cards as debit cards. And you can look up the definition if you just Google it. There's lots of different YouTube channels specifically on this subject. But basically, you're educating yourself of exactly how credit works, picking the credit cards that best utilize your lifestyle. For this example, we would talk about traveling and hotels. So you're picking a credit card that gives an overwhelming amount of benefits to those categories. And they're using that credit card like a debit card, paying it off in full every month, literally just the same exact way you would use a debit card. You already have that money in your bank, and then you just instantly pay it off either transaction by transaction or in one big lump sum at the end of the month. And you accumulate points over time that you can then use for free hotel night stays, right? Okay, so that's kind of its own category and its own thing. There's lots of different points programs, especially when you get into the higher tier credit cards. Luxury hotels or very nice hotels typically make very, very good partnerships with those higher tier cards because they want those people that have access to those high cards to come stay at their hotel, obviously, right? So you have a lot of different opportunities and deals that are to be had if you have those cards, which is another really good benefit of getting them. Again, I'm only suggesting that if you go into the education process of exactly how credit works and getting into credit card churning, you're not just getting a high-tier credit card and using it as a credit card. That is not what I'm suggesting at all. But what we can do is be very well educated and utilize all of these benefits that these different companies connect with each other to our advantage and get a lot out of it. Now, that is what I am suggesting. For example, Chase Sapphire Reserve is really well known as being a good travel credit card. They have a partnership called Chase Luxury Hotel Resort Collection, where you can get all kinds of different add-ons to a luxury hotel stay. So for example, it'll say the Plaza in New York, and then it'll list a whole bunch of different benefits that it's giving you, like an upgrade to a suite for free, breakfast for free, all these different benefits, right, that they'll give you just by booking it through the portal using your points. So that's a really great way to do it. There's also an equivalent program and version on the Amex Platinum, I know, but there's lots of different credit cards that have all these different points set up for hotels. Another one that's popular is the Hilton Honors and the HIG Rewards Premier. Now that one I think is more for like smaller towns more than like bigger cities, like smaller towns that don't have like a lot of different five-star hotels. They have like a lot of like 3 and 4-star hotels. That's really what the HIG one is for, I think. And the Hilton Honors, of course, they have lots of different tiers within Hilton that you can use. So there's lots of different options and I'll leave you to do your own research on those. But what I really get into is using like a Chase Portal, and I'll compare the points with just the deal that is in Chase Portal if I'm going to use my cash. And I'm taking that number of either A, how many points it's actually taking me to get something and how much money I've spent in order to get those points. Are those points better used in another area, like an airline or something else, like, right? And I'll make that judgment. And then I'll get just the cash equivalent, right? How much am I going to pay if I just use my Chase Portal, for example? And then I'll go over to AAA. AAA, I tell you what, is the silent killer in all of this. AAA has so many old standing discounts with these hotels that are actually so worth it. It's insane. Now, you didn't hear it from me, but you can technically go to AAA. It's like AAA.com, and then I think it's like /, and then like your state, right? So it would be like AL if you were in Alabama, or OK if you were in Oklahoma, right? I think you could just Google like AAA and then your state, and then it'll show you like your state's AAA website, right? And you don't have to put your AAA number in there in order to use the search engine to find hotels with the discounts. Now, sometimes it'll say you need to present your AAA card upon check-in. I have AAA, right? I have my card. I have been doing this for years. Not one time have I ever been asked for my AAA card. Never, ever, ever. Now, I don't know if that is because I'm typically always staying in 4 and 5-star hotels, because I have heard some like 2 and 3-star hotels that have asked other just people I know that have stayed there. So again, is it because of the 3-star like lie? And those people are the ones that are like, you know, particularly not wanting to give discounts because they're marketed for this group of people who don't think they can get better deals on 4 and 5-star hotels? Maybe. I'm just saying, I have never been asked, and I have been doing this for such a long time. Most of the time, you know, when you're checking into a luxury hotel, they're wanting to like give you a great experience. They're not trying to overcomplicate things or, you know, ask you for like unnecessary things. They're just trying to check you into your room and make sure you have a wonderful stay. So really the attitude towards the customer completely shifts when you are staying at a nicer hotel, which is another benefit on why you want to find good deals at these places, because overall, you're just always going to have a better experience. Okay, so I've looked it up on AAA, I've compared there, and then I'll start looking up at Kayak. Now, Kayak, I use their app. I do not use the one on the desktop. Most of the like deal hunter websites on the desktop will open like a whole bunch of windows behind the window you're actually looking at, and I really hate that. I don't know why they do that. It is literally like makes everyone irritated. I'm not sure in what world that actually is effective for them. But if you use the app, like the Kayak app, it doesn't do that. And it's a really great, efficient way to be able to filter to 4 and 5-star hotels and find really good deals in order to compare to those other 3 places that you've been looking, right? So I've looked on Chase Portal, I've looked on the Amex Portal, I looked on AAA. Now I'm looking at Kayak. And then I will find what hotels have maybe showed up on like 2 or 3 of those different platforms I've been looking. And then this is the extremely important part. And then you go to that hotel's homepage website and you look it and you look up those dates on the hotel's homepage, because a good percentage of the time, the homepage actually has a cheaper price than the places you looked up. I went into this when I was talking about flights in the last episode as well, but I'll just to quickly touch on a little bit how this industry works. Hotels give rooms over to Priceline, Kayak, AAA, et cetera, and they allot them so many rooms, right? So Kayak, let's say, has 30 rooms in the Hilton, and they have to sell those rooms for this date, right? They have this block of rooms that they technically own or have the right to sell, right? So they're trying to sell them at the highest price that they can far out, because that's when a lot of people are booking things, which is another reason why I never book that far out. You are hardly ever going to find very good deals if you are booking too far out. And I say that because they've sold all their most expensive rooms to all the people that are trying to plan ahead that don't know this system, and they're paying the highest price 6 to 4 weeks out, right? And then when it gets within 3 weeks, Kayak starts to panic and going, hey, we got to sell these rooms. We have 16 rooms left of our 30. We got to sell them. So they start to drop the prices, and they have a margin, right? That they might even go under or drop something really, really low, but it ends up equaling out for them because they've sold the rooms so high 6 weeks out, right? So if I'm booking a room maybe next week, I'm getting a particularly good deal because now they're more desperate to sell those last few rooms than they were 6 weeks ago. And that's how you find really good deals. Now, there are sometimes just specials, right? There are just specials that hotels are running, or it's their low season or whatever it may be. That's why you always want to compare the website price for the room compared to what you're finding online, because sometimes and more often than not, it's actually the same price or cheaper. Now, if it's the same price, you always want to book it on the hotel website because they will now have full control over your reservation. If you book on even the Chase portal, right? I believe works with Expedia. So on your reservation, it will say booked through Expedia, even though you technically just used points for the Chase portal. But if anything goes wrong with your reservation and you call the hotel will look up your reservation and see, oh, you booked through Expedia. You actually have to call them to make any changes to this reservation. Now, once you actually check into the hotel, as far as upgrades and different things, the hotel should be able to work all that out with you. But any last second changes, all of that will have to go through the party that you booked with, which actually isn't as bad as it sounds. Most of the time they have call centers and they're able to work out things with you pretty well. You know, of course there's horror stories if you look up online, but as a good rule of thumb, if it's the same price on the hotel's website, always book through them because they will have full control over your reservation, as well as you'll be able to sign up for the hotel's point system just within themselves and start racking up points through the hotel if you're booking directly through them, which you cannot do if you're booking with a third party. All right, now let's get into my tricks. I have developed over the years some really solid tricks of the trade that I'm going to get into now. So the first one is upgrades are your friend, but only upgrades through the hotel. Listen, this is one of the best tricks I have and has literally saved me thousands of dollars. Okay, this is what you do. You find your hotel, right? You're like, this is the hotel that I want. I'd love the suite because it has a tub, it has a better view, whatever, but it is so much more expensive on this third-party website that I'm finding a deal on, right? So you call the hotel and you ask them what their upgrade policy is. So many hotels have just a flat upgrade that they will give you for a certain just overall price to a suite or whatever room that you want for, let's say it's just a flat rate of like $100 more a night or like $50 more a night, right? Well, if you look up on that third party website, it was maybe, let's say, $200 a night for this basic room, and it's $650 a night for the suite. If you call the hotel and you ask them how their upgrade system works, and if they tell you it's a flat rate to upgrade to a suite, you book it on the third-party website, and then you call them and they upgrade you to the suite for that flat $100 a night or whatever it may be, and now they're transferring the reservation into their hotel system, meaning they have full control over your reservation because they're making you a new reservation with the suite, with the upgrade, and then you pay the rest of the money to the hotel. I'll give you an example. I did this in Paris. I was staying at a 4-star hotel, and it could have even been a 3-star hotel. I couldn't find a really good deal. This was one of the first times I was going to Paris, right? Couldn't find a really good deal. I didn't have a crazy budget, and I was just like trying to find something nice. So I booked a regular room at this hotel via, I want to say it was Kayak. And then I called the hotel and I was like, oh, parlez-vous anglais? Like, do you speak English? And she was like, oh, yes, yes. You know, always ask in French if they speak English. They will be on your side. Don't start talking to them immediately in English. ask them if they speak English in French. They will like automatically be like on a higher tier level in their minds about you, right? And she was like, you know, oh, yes, yes. And I asked him like, oh, I'm interested. I think I'm going to book, but really interested in the suite. And she was like, oh, let me look here what the suite would be compared to if you like already had a room like that. And she was like, oh, it'll just be like, I want to say it was like 200 euros more, which was insane because it was literally 900 euros more on the website that I was looking, right? 900 euros more. And she was like 200 euros. And it was from like the smallest, most basic room in the hotel to a two-story suite with a balcony and like a whole courtyard view and like these gorgeous wood beams above. It was literally amazing. Like one of the best rooms and like most traditional rooms in Paris I've ever stayed. It was so, so, so cute. And I could not believe I got it for like only 200 euros more. And it was all just because I called. Now, I'll give you another example. In Dallas, Hilton does this a lot. Hilton is a really good example. Hilton has usually just flat rates that they will just add like to your bill per night if you are there. Now, I will say sometimes that flat rate only applies once you're checked in because it's an availability upgrade and not just like an overall upgrade. I've had it done both ways, which is why you need to kind of call and figure it out for yourself. But most of the time, the higher tier rooms are not sold out anyways. Most of the time, it's the first tier of rooms in a hotel that is sold out. So more often than not, even if it's an availability only upgrade, you'll still get it. I think maybe only one time in the years I've been doing this, they didn't have a suite available when I went to check in. But like I said, Hilton does do this. I was in Dallas and I was staying at a 4-star hotel for $50. I stayed at this hotel in Dallas for $50 so many times. I do not even understand why or how, but it is the cutest little hotel. It is the, I'll even tell you what the hotel is. It's the, Hilton Dallas Lincoln Center Hotel. And the $50 days are long gone, sad times, but literally it was a solid probably literally year and a half that I stayed at that hotel consistently for $50 a night. And I booked it through Kayak. It would never be on the website or anything else. It was always through Kayak. And it was always like pretty last second. And Kayak dropped that hotel down to $50 all the time. And it just, I do not know why. I still do not know why. Now I think the cheapest I get it is around $100. But still, it's like, it's a great hotel. They have great views and it's right next to the Galleria. So it's like the perfect little spot. I stay there all the time. Anyways, they do this upgrade process, right? So I get there and then I want to say it's either 50 or 100. I can't actually remember. But you can update to the suite, which is a very, very, very nice room in that hotel for another $50 to $100. And boom, you have a $150 night suite in Dallas when everywhere else, the Four Seasons, the Ritz is so, so, so much more expensive. Like $550, $650, $700 sometimes on weekends for their 5-star hotels in Dallas. And boom, you have a 4-star Hilton suite, $150 a night. All day, every day, versus the basic, I should mention, $500 for the Four Seasons or the Ritz in Dallas, right? Okay, and all that leads me into my next and final category that I'm calling education. The more educated you are on how an industry works and how all the players within that industry work together, the better off you're going to be. And the way you do that, honestly, is asking questions. I did not know all this in the very beginning of how to deal hunt. I started staying in nice hotels and then I started kindly, pleasantly asking questions just inquisitively to my concierge or maybe to the front desk, just how things work, right? Or putting two and two together. Or one concierge mentioned they could do something to me in this hotel. So I asked the concierge maybe in another hotel and sure enough, they could do that. And they suggested something else that they could do even on top of that. And then I learned that, right? It's kind of an interesting game that they really do play. Especially when you talk about the very high tier 5-star hotels, they very much have a status thing that they are protecting. And the more that you fit within their sort of status and the more maybe you tip and the more you spend money at the hotel, the more opportunities that they're going to give you later on whenever you book in the future reservations, because you've kind of created a bit of a name for yourself in that hotel. The more you understand about that industry, the more you'll know where to put your money and how it's going to benefit you the most in your future trips. I'll give you one last example, the Ritz in Paris. The Ritz in Paris is incredible. Now, very, very interesting information for you. The Ritz in Paris is actually the original Ritz and has nothing to do with, literally zero association with, the Ritz-Carlton. The Ritz-Carlton came years later after the Ritz had developed such an iconic name for itself in Paris. There was the Ritz Paris and the Ritz London. Now, since this, they have sold off the Ritz in London to another buyer. So now there is only the Ritz in Paris. Ritz-Carlton heard about the commotion of the Ritz in Paris. What, you know, the song Frank Sinatra sings and all the hype around the Ritz. Literally never about Ritz-Carlton. Carlton Ritz developed a brand in the U.S. and a chain of hotels called the Ritz-Carlton because of the hype around the Ritz in Paris and developed an entire huge business around it, mainly based in the U.S. Of course, now they're worldwide, but that is why they cannot have a Ritz-Carlton in France or Paris because they would be infringing on the copyright of Ritz Paris, and the Ritz Paris just never did anything about it whenever it was really developing in the U.S. So now you have these two completely separate companies that everyone associates together but really have absolutely nothing to do with each other, which is really, really interesting. Of course, the Ritz-Carlton is very well known as five-star hotels, and they have a whole point system within themselves, and it's, you know, it's a huge conglomerate in itself, right? They have hotels all over the world, but there is only one Ritz Paris, and that's the one I'm referencing right now. The Ritz in Paris is unmatched. Absolutely incredible, insane customer service and just overall history and everything about the hotel. I cannot speak highly enough about. I ended up staying there quite last second in August with my mom, right? And we were staying at a hotel that just didn't turn out to be what I wanted it to be, and we just needed to move. And I was like, that's it, mom. I'm just going to book the Ritz for us. It'll be great. So I booked the Ritz, and I was flabbergasted at the level of excellence that they are is insane. And I've learned all of this right during my stay that it was actually not the Ritz-Carlton and that, you know, they were completely different things. And after staying there, I was ruined, right? Because now I can stay absolutely nowhere else in Paris because it will just never compare. I mean, there's other hotels that I love. The Alfred Sommelier is a really good one. I stayed there for like a month in Paris once, and there's others. But any time I can stay at the Ritz, I am absolutely going to, because they really do just have another level of overall care. You walk in and you just feel like you're home. After staying at the Ritz, I really want to stay there more, right? Well, the Ritz obviously is very expensive, so I decided to get educated about how their system works, right? Now, in Paris, most of the workforce takes a vacation in August, which means that typically the hotel prices are the least expensive in August, and they rotate on their high and low seasons. Well, at the Ritz, I was talking with the front desk. They were explaining to me the high and low seasons, right? And how I approached it is I just said, hey, I've enjoyed my time here so much. I cannot say enough wonderful things about this hotel. I come here for the summer quite often, and I really like to come stay here maybe much longer. Is there a best month to do that? Obviously, I know that could get really expensive really quickly. Is there maybe like a price fluctuation, or when is your high and low times? And that was enough of an open door for them just to explain the whole thing to me. And then I learned, since now I've already stayed at the Ritz, or I'm already a customer of the Ritz, next time I want to make a reservation, they suggested that I call into their reservations team because they own their reservations team, meaning that they don't hire a third party to take all their reservation calls, which a lot of hotels do, but is a really good thing to ask, because if they don't and it is all in-house, most of the time, their reservation team has a lot of authority in order to give you very, very good deals, or at least add on things like free breakfast and, you know, an upgraded stay or whatever to an already existing customer of a high-class luxury hotel. And that is exactly the case at the Ritz. They suggested I call in to make a reservation. So the next time I was ready to stay, I called in, and sure enough, they were right. Not only did they give me a significant discount compared to what the price was on the Ritz website, but they included breakfast, a free upgrade that was different from the room that I had before, because I was explaining my view and that I was wondering if I could have another view. And they were like, sure, absolutely no problem. When you're kind and nice and you ask for things and you're already a well-paying customer, that will really take you very far. in a luxury hotel, which leads me into my last and final point, budget, right? Obviously, it's extremely expensive to stay at somewhere like the Ritz, right? Which is really not even five star. It's kind of in its own category above five star, right? But you can find another five star hotel in Paris for maybe half the price that you're going to stay at the Ritz. What I would suggest, and has served me so well in so many instances of me traveling to countries that I go consistently, is stay in one of those very, very nice hotels for maybe one or two nights and then move hotels to somewhere else that you found a really good deal through all the research that I told you about earlier. Because then you will have an in. You're already going to be a familiar face with that concierge, with the staff at the hotel. If you were to ever have anything go wrong, you have a very well-connected hotel already on your side, right? Even though they know, of course, that you've checked out, you're a customer at their hotel now, right? And you might even, you know, get the name of the concierge, be particularly nice to them. And you would be surprised how far that can get you and how many open door opportunities that might give you. You know, if you really, really wanted to go to a certain restaurant and you're in Paris for 2 weeks, while you're staying in the luxury hotel for that one or two nights, you ask the concierge to book you that reservation 2 weeks later and boom, you'll have access to the spa, et cetera, et cetera. But actually what I use it for probably the most is just the familiar faces of people knowing who I am while I'm traveling by myself is a huge reassurance for me when I'm traveling. Most of the time, for example, while I'm in Paris, if I'm really, really tired in the middle of the day, I automatically have somewhere to go and chill, even in the lobby, just to kind of reset my basis or make a plan for what I'm going to do the rest of the day. And because I've already stayed there, the staff already knows me, I'm safe and comfortable in that lobby making my plans because I've already been a customer there. I know the layout. If I have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the day, I can pop into the Ritz and use the hotel bathroom because I already know where it is. You know, especially when you're traveling by yourself, I found a lot of benefit to just having sort of that comfort. There's a staff of people here that know me that could help me if I needed something. And of course, that's where tipping well can always take you a long way as well, right? Learning people's names, calling them by their name, being particularly kind. And there you have it. I swear you do those things and your travel experiences will only get better. I have been so impressed at how staying at nice luxury hotels has served me in so many ways that I never expected or never expected to need. So definitely something to research and try to work in your budget one way or another, because I promise you it's worth it. And with that being said, thank you so much for listening or watching on YouTube. Like I said, pretty please subscribe or rate this podcast. It really helps out a brand new podcast like mine. And I will see you next Saturday in my next episode. Bye. Okay. So first let's get into what, oh my God, send help. Ah!